wiggity wiggity, welcome back. It's October. Who's up for some poetry? I hope it's you. If it's not you, and you're like, fuck this, I'm gonna listen to some true crime. Hell and Gone. Hell and Gone. You're welcome. I'm gonna read to you from my book of poetry that I self-published in 2010, I think, 2009, 2011. Basically 100 years ago. It was another world back then. Smartphones were not a thing. I mean, maybe some people had them, but we sure didn't. We had a BlackBerry with like a little toggle ball on it sometimes, but it was too complicated. Anyway, I self-published a book called Dream of Underwater Volcanoes. If you Google that phrase, Dream of Underwater Volcanoes, you'll find it on blurb.com. You can purchase it there, or you can preview much of the book. You can just read it right there online. So, there are three main chapters. America, dreams, which are actual, like, my nightmares that I actually documented quite purely. And then Italy, my adventures as a 22-year-old. Yeah. In Italy, backpacking around, vagabonding, and being a general brave wild child. So here we go. I'm going to read you some of this poetry, and I hope you like it. Some of my inspiration, for the record, Lawrence Durrell. He wrote Justine and the Alexandria Quartet. What was her name? I can't remember. It's okay. Mostly my own weirdness is my inspiration. All right, here we go. I'm gonna start with a preface. These pages are a culmination of a handful of years plus infinite adventures. Within and without, one is always discovering, and I, for one, always pondering those discoveries. The wheel in my mouse brain squeaks, squeaking away. At times, he steams red, fiery. Others, he glides along in a smooth, blissful orbit around this bit of madness or that bit of logic. Fall 2009, midway through my five-month stint in Sicily, I began gathering and organizing works for this book. Through retrospection on pieces written in America, a curiosity arose. I was struck by my own dark humor. I scoffed, laughed at things to which others would have cupped a horrified hand to a horrified mouth. Italy offered a dripping, salty gateway for introspection, essentially in complete solitude. On a tiny island off the coast of Syracuse, Sicily, I drowned myself in myself. I battered boulders and battled my demons. I danced my heart out under the stars. The return to America is forever reminiscent of the Little Prince's voyages. A tiresome trip across all of Intergalactica to meet with a planet so strange, yet so familiar. The home that mirrors only the small part of the traveler that the journey left unchanged. The dreams are as real as they come and have been documented as purely as possible. I hope you find something familiar in this book. For be it friend or be it foe, a familiar always feels a bit like home. I promise these poems are not as pretentious as that preface was. I can make fun of my 22-year-old self, it's fine. Also, if you look online, so these are not just poems, but my photography, my degree was in photography, and my photography is throughout the book, as well as paintings, abstract paintings, and collages, and the cover is a Holga print. I had this method of medium format photography that I guess I created. I don't know. Maybe other people were doing it, but I would just contact print the entire roll of film. So rather than like scroll to the next frame, I would just scroll over a little bit and then take a photograph over that frame, and then another one and another one, another one. So, you know, the whole roll of film was like hundreds of pictures, and just contact print it. Anyway, the cover is, you can see four suns, and it's hard to make out, but it's my hand holding up a piece of glass to the sun, on this property of this home, this magical abandoned home that I fell in love with when I was in school for photography. I had just a flat out love affair with this home. I called it the house and had dreams about it, and dreams about sacred hidden rooms in this home, and ended up through my photography being on the walls of the Starbucks in downtown Lexington, Kentucky, where I worked as a teenager. I actually met a family who had lived there probably 25 years prior, and we were able to connect over how magical and mystical and mysterious this wonderful house was. So anyway, all right, here we go. Which poem do you want to hear first? What's the content of this book, you may ask? It's really dark. I think it's about my mental illness, basically. Oh yeah, Sylvia Plath. I was inspired by her too. And Flannery O'Connor, that's the name that was on the tip of my brain. It's about my mental illness, basically, my depression and sex, nightmares, that sort of thing. But the Italy part, I think the Italy's part is the best. I'm going to save that for a future episode. This is already 7 minutes long, and I haven't even gotten to the first poem. So we're going to start with America. All right, here we go. Start with something sassy. Strawberry jam. A good breakup poem. It finally hit me, be it true or be it true. It was not me, but rather you. Inside my head, near the front, a man leaps from his chair, finger poised in the air, and ha! Aha! Josiah. Triumph. Josiah. Not a sigh, not a breath. More a Nazi soldier shouting a command. Oh, but he's soft at the core, all right. You done good, you done good. And all that manly trickle-down pride lies under that prayer, pleading, exclaiming, revolutionary thought. Josiah. And the man falls off his chair with a smile smeared, slapped like red jelly across a face. Across his goddamn face. Boom. All right. Eggs. This is about depression. Eggs. She placed a tiny skeleton key between the first and second pages of chapter 7 to mark the bell jar. The boy who interrupted the reading was elusive and just charming enough to piss her off. She goes to bed angry, for you are married. How can you justify jealousy and justify this? The phrase, other woman, sends a ping at this moment to the place where her heart once was. She opted for spray instead of heavy oil in the non-stick pan. And she turned the gas on before opening the fridge. One egg, two eggs, three, because she hasn't eaten for a while, and not even that was enough to pull her out of bed. It was her mother who did. Bang, crack on the stovetop, and a smooth dance plop, one by one into the pan. Pour milk, stir, cinnamon, nutmeg, salt, pepper, and she loves the way amused by the egg mixture that rushes to it when it falls into the volcano, surrounds it, moans under the weight, and then it's over. When she's in these moods, she leaves one corner crust. I told you they were dark. Here's a poem about fantasies of suicide. New and ancient. All day I drive in monotony. White, 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 white. I find breaks in guardrail where I can drive off the edge of this black onto that clean baby white. A day I could peacefully die in. The world today is a dome around this highway. Around me, I will fly from this black to that white, dream to bury myself in my white car in that white snow that tastes like ascension. In the book opposite this page is a full-size Polaroid in a method that, an alternate photography method that James Baker Hall, Jim Hall, poet laureate at UK and friend of Ralph Eugene Meatyard and I'm not even remembering his name now either. Wendell Berry, friend of Wendell Berry. He taught me this method. So you like take a photo with your Polaroid, and while it's developing in those like 2-3 minutes, you cut open the sides and you play around with the emulsion. So I did that in the Ice House. It was a studio building, this old, amazing building in downtown Lexington where Jim Hall had his studio, his photography studio. I was there and some friends, I think, were having a gallery exhibit party thing. And I was in the bathroom playing with emulsion from my Polaroid. So that's the image opposite that poem in the book. And the next page as well. All right. These are heavy. Kinko's. In line with iPod, ears buzzing, signs flash. Buy this overpriced banner, a woman dressed to kill herself with some feathers, and is that a clothespin sticking out of her head? A man with sports coat and store-bought wrinkles ironed into the back of his stonewashed Gap jeans. Inside, I am laughing at everyone and somber as can be. On the walk home, I shoot out a first-floor office window to push the button on the monitor of a computer left on overnight to save electricity. This one's called Cardinal, and it will show you pretty overtly how I was inspired by Flannery O'Connor. It's just two lines. Stick this out with me. Cardinal. Today, I killed a cardinal. It was your favorite bird. Whew! All right. In this next page, there's another photography method that I used. I don't know if I found this from anyone else, but it's double exposure. I would take a photo of what I was looking at, and then I would do a selfie before selfies were a thing. Like 2007, selfies were not a thing. It's called a self-portrait back then. And it's really hard to tell, but it is a self-portrait. I've got this kind of Elvis giant white collar around my face, and there's a graveyard. Really, it's super abstract. You probably could never tell what the fuck you were looking at if I didn't tell you, but I think it's beautiful. It's dark. Body. And I am not owner of you, and you are not owner of me. A body I live in, a house I call home. Squeaking staircases, shards of glass, and the attic of my grandparents' things. Mice in these walls, and the smell of dead books. And I do not have a home. She broke her nose. Her own nose. Just to see what it would feel like. Push on it. That soft cartilage feels like putty. Makes your head see stars. Just do it, you pussy. I told you they were dark. Okay, that's it for the America chapter. I mean, there are a ton more poems in there, but I'm skipping them. Not gonna read from the James chapter. I don't know. Maybe not to. Maybe a later day, but not today. They're so dark. Right, TK? It's tough to revisit our nightmares. They're all fucked up. Riddled with, you know, sex and sexual competition and kidnapping and power, possession, demons. You know, like those kind of things that every 20-some-year-old just goes through. Okay, I will read you one dream. It's Dream of Underwater Volcanoes, from the title of this book. It was dreamt in Sicily. I am shooting along on the bottom of the sea. It is like when I'm there with my eyes open, but with much less color. Switch to view from above. The water is turbulent and like cut-out shapes of waves, but dark. There are a few people bobbing. A warning. I told you so. It starts, and I am fascinated. There, hovering above the seafloor. It starts, a bruised bubble under the surface of the sand. It grows. And into a caterpillar, and tall, and a flash of one and two. It explodes. Jelly fire shoots into the water, into the sky. People are hurt. A man shows me the small, fresh wounds on his finger, focusing on a particular one on the side. The same spot where I woke up to a terrible zanzara bite. He says it just kept bleeding all night, and they extracted the live ember that was embedded there, stewing and churning and burning its way through flesh. His finger was emitting blood like a volcano emits its blood. That's a true story. I woke up with a terrible mosquito bite. Zanzara is the Italian word. And I didn't know underwater volcanoes are a thing. I didn't know that, but it's a true story. This is the part where some of these poems are they're partly in Italian. Lots of bad dreams. Okay, that's enough for now, friend. Let's take a second and breathe and be present. Our presence. That's been my job lately. Just be present. Okay, I love you. P.S., and it's a rather important P.S. indeed. Musings from the Rainbow Sparkle Palace is financed almost entirely by your generous contributions. If you're gleaning valuable info from this podcast and would like to give back, I invite you to visit rainbowstarmusic.com/podcast. Scroll down till you see the button that says Buy Rainbow Some Time, and you can quickly, via PayPal, send some money to this podcast. And I thank you so much. It means the world to me that this podcast means something to you.